is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Put your hands together. Stand up.
Stand up.
through the night.
We'll make it through the night.
For sure.
For sure.
Hey, hey, hey. Stand up.
Stand up.
Come on, y'all. Push.
Move.
Hey, put your hands together. Put your hands together.
Don't cry.
Make it through the night.
Make it through the night.
Oh.
For sure.
Hey, hey, hey. Stand up.
Stand up.
Move. Hey. Hey. Hey, 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 hey.
Make it through the night. For sure.
Now you are, you are. Put your hands together, put your hands together.
Don't cry.
Make it through the night.
Make it through the night.
For sure.
For sure.
Hey. Come on, y'all. Stand up.
Stand up.
Everybody stand up.
Stand
move.
Move on.
Hey, hey, hey. It's a Holy Ghost party, y'all.
Don't cry.
Hey, make it through the
make
night.
Make it through the night.
Move.
For sure.
Hey, 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 hey. Repay you. Put your hands together. Hey, I need to stand for, move,
move.
Hey, say it again. Make it through the night. Yeah,
for sure,
for sure, for sure. From the top, you are
the highlight of my life.
You are
the sunshine in my
life.
Oh how do I
ever repay you?
Oh, let's hear it again for our young people. God bless you. You are the highlight of my life. Amen. God bless you. Father, we thank you for this time of preaching. God, we pray that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds that will remind us, oh God, what a highlight you've been in our lives. We thank you and we give you praise. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. We thank you now for these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Ushers, y'all can go ahead and take your seats. Just get your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll share that with you in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. I want to talk about the fact that we are family. Amen. We are family. And I think that all of us, whether it's obvious to us or not, long to belong. Let me say that again. I think it is human nature. It is a part of being human that we long to belong. We all want to be a part of something that is living, something that is active, and something that makes us feel like we are a vital part of it. Amen. Families are the ideal place for all of that. That's part of the way God designed the families. Successful families are made up of people who are made to feel like they belong and that their contributions to the family, no matter how small, are appreciated and valuable. When you put your faith in Christ, you become a member of the family of God. Where my folk who are proud, you're glad, you're happy to be a part of the family of God. The Heavenly Father becomes your father. You're adopted into his family as his child. And let me tell you, that is no small thing, to be adopted into the family of God, even in human relationships. I think I ought to tell you that adoption is a higher order of relationship than being naturally born. Do y'all hear what I say? I said adoption is a higher order of relationship than to be naturally born. Why do you say that, Pastor? I say it because when you are the natural born child of your mother or your father, when you show up on the scene, they just get whatever you are. Amen. They may have wanted a child with long hair, and you have short hair. They may have wanted something, but they get whatever shows up. Amen. That is the natural order of things. But when you are adopted, when parents go about the process of adopting a child, amen, they get information about the child before they sign the adoption papers. The agent may tell them this child was born to a drug-addicted mother. And that adoptive parent will say, I want him anyway. Amen. Amen. That child may have been abused and been through all types of trauma, but that adoptive parent says, I want them anyway. Amen. And so when we say that we are adopted into the family of God, that ought to bring joy to your heart. Because God in his omniscience knew before you got here what a mess you were going to be. And God looked beyond our faults and said, I want them anyway. I want him anyway. I want it anyway. I choose them anyway. Is there anybody who's happy, who's glad to know that God adopted you in spite of you? John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Oh my brothers and sisters, when you understand that you are part of the family of God, you gain a heavenly father and you gain a heavenly brother as well. I'm in Bible country. Hebrews 2 and 11 says both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Oh my, oh my. You're the Lord Jesus Christ's brother. You're his sister. And he says that there's nothing about you that makes him ashamed to call you his brother or his sister. Now don't sit there with your holy self and act like you ain't never messed up. Don't sit there with that halo on your head and act like you've never done some things that you yourself are displeased with. But in spite of all that you've done, in spite of the stuff, you might not have done it, but you thought it. And the Bible says that if you think it, amen, it's just the same as doing it. But in spite of all of that, Jesus says, I'm not ashamed to call you my brothers and my sisters. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad to be in that kind of family. Come on, come on. Where are my folk who know that in natural born families, sometimes you can mess up so bad that parents will disown you. And everybody sitting up in here got some cousins you don't want folk to know. But in spite of our mess ups, in spite of our mix-ups, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm not ashamed to call you my brother or my sister. And not only do you gain a heavenly father and a heavenly brother, you also gain a great and wonderful family comprised of millions and millions of people who have joined the family as well. And not only have they joined the family, but if you're a real Christian, you want the best for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do I have a witness today? This church, Pleasant Hill, is a part of that awesome family, and it's my desire as pastor that this part of the family becomes all that it can be to love and support the family of God in Leesville, in Fort Polk, in this area. And the passage that I want you to deal with today is Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at it together, verses 19 through 22. Amen. Brother Lott, if you'll cut off some of those other mics, I think we'll be good. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Y'all, this passage gives us three things that every member of the family of God shares with one another. Number one, the family shares a common foundation. Let me hear everybody say common foundation. It's right there in those first two or three verses. It says in verses 19 through 19 and 20 that God's household is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and even that foundation is built on the cornerstone of Christ. Without Christ, the whole thing crumbles. It exists because of Christ, and it survives because of Christ. You don't get into the family without him. Y'all, God's family is built on Christ. Thank God it ain't built on Reverend Garner. Thank God it ain't built on Deacon so-and-so. Thank God it's not built on you. We ought to be thankful that it is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who sets everything in the right direction. Now, unfortunately, sometimes some of the bricks seem to think that they need to go in a different direction. And the structure can look kind of funny. And if it goes too far, that whole portion of the building can collapse because they are no longer building on the foundation, but on their own shaky strength. So we need to be careful that everything we do in life is built on Jesus Christ. Built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, built on his word. I'm standing on his promises. I'm leaning and I'm depending on what the Lord Jesus Christ said about it. And when we lean and depend on that foundation that is Christ, I've come by to tell you this morning, that's when we can count on the blessings of God in and through his family. Amen. But then number two, the family shares a common design. Verse 21 tells us that in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. Do you know what God's end goal is for you and for me? Do you know what his end goal is for us as a family of faith, a family of believers? Why is it that he tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves? Why is it that we need church? Why is it that we need a church family? Why is it that we come here Sunday after Sunday and week after week? It's because ultimately God wants to present us faultless before him. Amen. We're supposed to be helping each other get holy. We're supposed to be helping each other be holy. Amen. Amen. Y'all getting real quiet on me.
Amen. Amen. How many of you have ever been to the Mall of America? Now, it's been some years since I've been there, but when I went there several years ago, they had a place in there called Legoland. Amen. Y'all know what Legos are, right? Any of you ever been there? It's a place where kids and adults who haven't grown up can go and just put stuff together. I was up in there. Amen. You can't take the Legos home, but you can just stay up in there for hours and just play and have fun right in the mall. Amen. You can spend hours just making stuff. They've got these huge Lego creations up in there. Some folk have made dinosaurs out of Legos. Some folk have made spaceships. Amen. It's really awesome, especially when you take the time to really look at what it took to make those things. And do y'all know what the amazing thing is? The amazing thing is that it takes Legos of all shapes, of all colors, of all sizes. Amen. But when they're put together just the right way, something awesome comes out of it. I'm trying to tell you, Pleasant Hill, that we ought to think for a moment, amen, about us up in here together. Y'all know, amen, that we're all from different places. We're all from different backgrounds. We all have different educations and incomes and all of that. But what God does is he takes all of us, he puts us together with all of our differences, with all of our idiosyncrasies, and makes us a family that's suited to tear the devil's kingdom down. Is there anybody in here who understands that when all of God's children get together, we can have a good time, we can help our community, we can help save the lost, we can help bring dying men and women and boys and girls into the body of Christ? Let's thank God for the family that we have. And the good news is, he designed us this way. God could have very easily made all of us just alike. He's omnipotent. He's got that kind of power. He could have made everybody up in here just alike. Amen. And when I think about those Legos, I think, what if they were all just the same? All you would ever end up with is a different brick. One brick would be bigger than another brick. But it would just be bricks. You couldn't make dinosaurs and spaceships and all of that if all of the Legos were the same. But because they are different, when you put them together, you can make something spectacular. You can make something awesome. You can make something that heaven will rejoice. Thank God he made us. I love that song by the Mississippi Mass Choir that says, God made me. He made me who I am. Amen. Amen. Come on. Where are my folk who every now and then you get down on yourself? You start feeling bad because you're not like the next person. Amen. So many times I wish I had a six-pack instead of a 12-pack. But I've come to realize that with my 12-pack, God can save somebody's life. God can bring somebody out of darkness and into the marvelous light. You ought to thank God that he made you who you are. But then finally, the family shares a common purpose. Verse 22, it says, and in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Think about it for a minute. What happened in the temple in Jerusalem? Well, I would venture to say that holy stuff happened in the temple. I believe in the temple they were praying. I believe that in the temple they were offering sacrifice. I believe that in the temple they were performing dedications and those sorts of things. The family is designed to help us become a place where the holy God can live in us. We've got to work together. I'm going to drop these things on you, and then I'm done. Amen. Five characteristics that we got to have, Pleasant Hill, if we're going to be the kind of family God wants us to be. But not only that, let me talk to individual families. Your family cannot be everything that God wants it to be without these five characteristics. Number one, the family should be loving. Let me hear everybody say loving. John 13 and 35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Y'all, one of the greatest signs that we belong to Christ and the family of God is that we love the members of his family. And I'm standing here as a witness that sometimes it's tough to love some of us. Amen. Sometimes some of us go out of our way to have folk not like us. Amen. They do the very things that they know disturb you, all in an effort to send you to hell. But I done told y'all before, I ain't going to hell. I said, I'm not going to hell. Amen. I ain't going to hell. I am sure that I'm going to make heaven my home. Now, you may go trying to get me to get there. Somebody said, be careful how you dig ditches for other folk. Because you may fall in some of those same ditches. So be real careful. Amen. Amen. But if we're going to be the kind of family that God sanctions, we've got to love one another. Y'all, we've got to love one another. Now, as I say that, I want you to just glance around the room. Look around the room. Look around the room. Come on, don't be ashamed. Look around the room. Look around. Look at each other. Amen. God wants us to love each other. God wants us to love each other. Amen. And can I tell you why you ought to love everybody? Because he loved you. And unless I'm confused, you ain't perfect. I know I ain't perfect. But yet he loves me. Oh, my. Oh, my. And if he can look beyond my faults, every now and then, I never was a cusser. I see Sister Robinson waving her hand back there. But every now and then, folk do stuff make you want to cuss. Make you want to invent some words. But I remember how he looked beyond my faults, Sister Middleton. And he saw my need and he loved me. And I said, I'm going to love you anyhow. Come on, am I the only one in here that just had to look at some folks? I'm going to love you anyhow. The second characteristic of the family is that the family ought to be a refuge of safety and caring. That means that folk ought to be able to come to us and share their problems with us, share their hurts with us, share their pains with us. You know, and we're very reserved about doing that because if you've lived long enough, you figured out that some folk get happy when they know you're going through some stuff. But that's not being a real Christian. That's not being a part of, and then some folk, amen, when you share your intimate problems with folk, some folk will use, they'll say, I got a prayer request. Let's pray for Sister So-and-so because she got a drinking problem. And she asked her, you know, some folk use that as a means of just gossiping and telling your business. That ain't right. Amen. Folk ought to be able to come here and share their problems with you, and you can go to God on their behalf. Go to God with them. Pray for one another. Love one another. Amen. Number three, the family ought to be encouraging in life and in the faith. We got to help each other get to heaven. We got to help each other understand the word of God. You know, when I grew up, there was some stuff you weren't supposed to ask. You know, you don't question God. Any of y'all remember that? They tell you, you're not supposed to question God. But I thank God that in the New Testament, modern day church, we understand that it's okay to have a question. Amen. And if you find the right person, they might help you to get an answer. Or they might go to God with you on your behalf to help you get an answer. We've got to encourage one another. Number four, the family ought to be unified. Turn to Philippians 2 and 2. Philippians 2 and 2. It says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, being one in spirit and purpose. Thank you, God. We got to be unified. And then finally, the family ought to be growing. And let me